Good morning. I want to thank Deaconess Bessie for the invitation to be with you. As she mentioned, I come from the Methodist Church in Singapore, so I bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters in the Methodist Church. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, so the opportunity to fellowship and join together in worship with brothers and sisters in other communions is always a wonderful thing. Thank you also you didn't know it, but I thank Bessie again for the invitation not only to speak this morning, but also, as you heard, to be with you in your camp in May. So if the Lord tarries, I look forward to spending time with you in May in KL. She gave me the option on what Bible book to preach from in May. I haven't decided. I think she wants to speak to me after the service about this. But I'm beginning to think, I've started to think that I probably preach from Isaiah. I'm not sure. But Isaiah, of course, is a very big book, 66 chapters. And so because I'm thinking I might be speaking from Isaiah, I thought this morning I'll also speak from Isaiah, because there's no way, even during a camp three sessions, there's no way I can take you through all of Isaiah. So at least I'll start today with one chapter in Isaiah. And Ronald has read that passage for us. Even the New Testament passage that Dora read is relevant, because it speaks about how Paul talks about how in his life, in his ministry, he was often broken, if you like, even depressed and perplexed, and yet continued to bring great blessing to others. But I shall speak this morning primarily from Isaiah chapter 54. The passage was already read to us, verses 1 to 8, so we don't need to read it again. Let me begin this passage thinking about verse 2. I read verse 2 again. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. What is Isaiah talking about? Think of that phrase at the end. Strengthen your stakes. What do you think he means? Let me first tell you what I think he does not mean. He does not mean that we should gamble with higher and bigger stakes at our casino or for our gambling entertainment. God is not asking us to put down bigger stakes when we visit the casino. Am I sure about this? Absolutely. You can bet on it. Secondly, and more seriously, strengthen the stakes is not a command to build bigger church buildings. Now, please do not misunderstand. I'm not saying that it is wrong to build bigger church buildings. I'm just saying that this particular Bible verse does not refer to bigger physical buildings. I think if Isaiah wanted to say that, then he would have said something like, expand your temple building, or lengthen the temple courtyard, strengthen the temple stones and foundation. Isaiah and his listeners lived long after the first temple had already been built. So if he wanted to inspire people to rebuild or expand or renovate the temple building, he would have said it plainly: enlarge the temple, strengthen the walls. But he didn't. Instead, he said, enlarge your tent. And lengthen the ropes of the tent and strengthen the stakes. What tent was Isaiah referring to? Could he have been referring to the tents that people lived in? In other words, was he telling them, build bigger homes and houses for yourself? Again, I don't think that this is what Isaiah meant. The people in Isaiah's day no longer lived in tents. Long, long ago, in the days of Moses, they lived in tents. But this was the time of Isaiah. People had stopped living in tents for over 300 years already. Now they were living in houses made of wood, clay, or stone. So Isaiah could easily have said, enlarge your homes, or add a room, or extend your rooftops. But instead, he said, enlarge your tent. Nobody lived in tents. So what tent was Isaiah referring to? He was referring to the symbolic ancient tent or tabernacle of God in the days before the temple had been built. The vocabulary that he uses in this verse, tent, cords, stakes, are all the same words which Moses used to describe the tent or the tabernacle in the days of the wilderness wanderings. And you remember, what was the purpose of the tabernacle or the tent way back in Moses' day in the wilderness? The tent symbolized the very presence of God in the midst of the people, in the midst of the camp. The tent or tabernacle was a visible symbol of the sanctuary or the presence of God. Now, in the desert, Moses and the people would often have to move from one campsite to another, no doubt in search of water and fresh grass. The tabernacle or the tent would then have to be taken down and then set up again when they reached their new campsite. The tabernacle or the tent was portable. It was a movable symbol of the presence of God, being with them wherever they camped, wherever they went. Now, the temple was built only some 400 years after Moses had died. The temple was majestic and grand, built with stones, beautiful stones, cedar wood. Solomon was very rich, and he was able to build a wonderful temple. The temple was a very good visible symbol of the grand and majestic presence of God. Now, symbols convey different things. And whilst a grand and majestic temple building would be a great symbol of God's grandeur and majesty, the downside is that a building is fixed and confined to a single geographical location. The tabernacle or the tent, on the other hand, was not particularly majestic or grand-looking. It was fragile, almost a little flimsy. But at least it was portable and movable, could easily be taken down and carried with you wherever you went and set up again. And so the tent or the tabernacle was better for symbolizing the truth that God's presence moves around with us wherever we travel. God's presence is not confined to any one building or temple in any fixed geographical location on earth. God's tent or presence can and should move around with us wherever we go. And this is the symbolism that Isaiah wants to emphasize. Not the majestic symbolism of the temple. He wants to emphasize the movable symbolism of the tabernacle or the tent. And Isaiah here says that we should enlarge the movable tabernacle, not the majestic temple. So Isaiah here is asking us to expand and stretch the area in which God's tent, God's presence, can be found and experienced by people. And this should be the central mission of every church, to expand the areas in which God's presence on earth can be found and experienced by people. I went to your website and noticed that pursuing the heart of God is your cathedral theme, which your vicar has set for 2018. You want to pursue and reach closer and deeper into the heart of God. I think that's another way of saying that you want to be in closer contact with the glory and very presence of God. You want to know the love and presence of God more and more in your life, in your home, in your church, your cathedral. And that's a great goal. But I'm sure that you would want this, not just for yourself, but for everyone. When a church or a cathedral helps people outside the cathedral to experience the heart of God's love, then she is helping to enlarge the tent of God's presence beyond her own already majestic cathedral building. When church members bring God's kindness outside the sanctuary and onto the streets or schools, into society, then God's loving presence is being, the area of God's loving presence is being expanded, where God's presence can be found and experienced on earth. Enlarge your tent. Go beyond your temple or cathedral. Bring God's presence to schools and shopping centers, to the streets and social clubs, to all the nations. This is God's call to enlarge our tents. Now, to whom does God issue this call? To whom does God, through Isaiah, say, enlarge and extend the areas where God's love can be found and experienced in our world? Who is asked to stretch the curtains and strengthen the stakes of God's loving tent? Is Isaiah speaking only to those who have been blessed with great joy and success and riches on earth? Is Isaiah speaking only to those of us who have been blessed with healing and happiness, and asking us now to extend such happiness and blessings to others? Well, certainly everyone who has been so wonderfully blessed can and should stretch and extend to others these blessings of God's love. But let's look again at Isaiah 54. God speaks not only to those who have been so happily and healthily blessed. Notice who it is that Isaiah addresses. Let's have a quick glance at verses 1 to 8. Isaiah was not speaking to people who felt blessed with abundant riches and success and happiness in life. Quite the contrary. Isaiah was speaking to people who were feeling very unblessed in life. He uses three different pictures to describe the feelings of sadness and helplessness in his audience. Perhaps you can spot the three pictures. The first one is in verse 1. God speaks to someone who is barren. Sing, barren woman, you who never bore a child. Burst into song. Shout for joy, you who were never in labor. Here is someone who wonders why she has not been blessed with any children. So that I'm not so gender specific, think also of a man who feels barren. He always believes he would make a great father, but he has never found a wife with whom to start a family. Friends seem to be blessed with many children. Not this woman, not this man. They remain barren, and they sometimes feel as if God has forgotten to bless them. Then in verse 4, God speaks to those who feel like a bereaved widow, someone who has lost a loved one. Verse 4 reads, "Do not be afraid. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood." Joseph was not literally a widower, but he often felt like one. He had been so happy and so in love. But one day before his wedding, he and his fiancée, they were out together, they were riding the horses, but she fell into a raging river and she drowned. Joseph did not feel blessed. He felt bereaved, like a widower. Like any of us who have lost someone or something that we have loved most dearly, when we lose that someone or something, our loss makes us feel bereaved, not blessed, but maybe unblessed. God speaks to those of us who feel barren, verse 1, or bereaved, verse 4, and then verse 6, those of us who feel betrayed. In verse 6, God describes people and he uses the analogy of a wife who feels betrayed by her husband. "For your maker is your husband. The Lord will call you, even though you were a wife deserted and distressed in spirit." A wife who married young only to be rejected, says your God. Do you know someone who feels betrayed? Have you yourself been betrayed by a spouse or maybe a close friend or a colleague whom you thought was your friend? When our best friends betray us, we not only feel angry, we feel very unblessed. The pain of betrayal is sometimes so deep that it feels as if God is the one who has betrayed us or cursed our life. God, how could you allow such a thing to happen to me? Lord, you blessed our marriage in church. How did this marriage turn out so bad? Lord, you called me to the mission field. Why has the mission failed? God understands that we sometimes feel as if it is God Himself who has deserted us to a point where we feel not blessed but cursed by God's anger. Read verses 7 and 8 again. God says, "For a brief moment I abandoned you, but with deep compassion I will bring you back. In a surge of anger I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have compassion on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer." Now notice God here, He concedes that we sometimes feel barren, bereaved, and betrayed. But He does not just concede that fact, that we will sometimes feel like this. He then calls those of us who feel barren and unblessed to enlarge the tent of His blessing for other people who might also be feeling barren. He urges us who feel betrayed or bereaved to stretch wide the curtains of His compassion to a world where many others feel bereaved or betrayed. God says, strengthen the stakes to those of us who may be feeling unblessed, so that others who also feel unblessed may be strengthened by the presence of God's love. We may be broken, but we are still called to bring blessing. God speaks to those of us who feel barren, bereaved, or betrayed. We do not feel blessed, we feel broken and unblessed, but He commissions those of us whose lives are breaking apart to enlarge the tent of His loving presence beyond our own brokenness. He encourages us to lengthen the cords beyond our own barrenness, bereavement, and betrayal, to bring the blessing of God's love to others. He calls those whose lives may be breaking or broken, feeling unblessed, to nevertheless enlarge the tent to be God's blessing to others. Have you ever been blessed by someone whose own life was breaking? I have. Many times. I remember my auntie. She did not feel blessed at all. Physically, she felt the unblessedness of terrible pain. Physically, her body was broken. She was dying from cancer. Yet she said to me in that hospital room, as I sat with her for a while, she said, "Gordon, I feel a lot of pain." I was helpless to know what else, to know anything to say. I just sat with her in quiet. But then she went on, "But I know God is with me, and I'm ready to go home." And as I heard her speak those words of faith, I felt the blessing of God's presence right there in that hospital room. Her courage enlarged the tent of God's glorious presence for me. I don't know if she felt any blessing of God's presence, but I certainly did. It was one of the most inspiring and moving moments for me that year. I don't think Joseph felt very blessed either. I think he often felt unblessed. I think he felt broken, barren, bereaved, maybe even betrayed. I told you earlier that his fiancée drowned in a tragic accident on the very eve of their wedding day. Joseph then was only a young man of 24. But there was more bereavement and brokenness to come. When he was 36, his dear mother fell seriously ill. And Joseph, by that time he had moved to Canada, he did not have the means to sail back from Canada to Ireland to see his dying mother. In the year that he turned 40, Joseph was engaged to be married. Would you believe it? Tragedy would strike again. Perhaps not as dramatic as the first time, the very day before his wedding, but his fiancée caught pneumonia, and she did not survive. And so Joseph never married, and he died at 66. I wonder whether he sometimes felt as if God had put a curse on his life, that his life was broken and unblessed. And yet, Joseph Scriven has enlarged the tent of God's loving presence for millions of people down through the years. His song has strengthened the stakes so that personally I can say I have felt God's presence with me in my moments of sorrow when I've sung his song. My mother died when I was only 1 year old, so I have no personal memory of her. But there have been several occasions when, after I've led a congregation in the singing of Joseph's hymn, that someone in that congregation who knew my mother would come up to me after the service and tell me, you know, that song, that hymn that you just led was your mother's favorite. So I suspect Joseph also enlarged the tent of God's loving presence for my mother in her illness. My guess is that Joseph Scriven has strengthened the stakes, enlarged the tent, God's tent, for many of you here as well. My mom and I, and probably millions of others, have been blessed by Joseph's song. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. So thank you, Joseph, for being such a blessing to so many of us, even though you must often have felt broken and unblessed. In Isaiah 54, God invites us to enlarge the tent of his loving presence, to extend the curtains and strengthen the stakes of his tabernacle, so that others may be blessed by the loving presence of God in our world. May St. Andrew's Cathedral enlarge the tent of God's loving presence, not just within this majestic cathedral building, but beyond this sanctuary to the schools, streets, and shopping centers of Singapore and all nations. Let's help everyone find God's heart of love, even if we ourselves may be feeling barren, bereaved, or betrayed. Our lives may be broken, but by God's grace, we can still be a blessing. Let us pray. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Father, you know that sometimes, maybe even often, in our life here on earth, we feel pain and brokenness. We feel sorrow, betrayal. We pray that in the midst of our brokenness and pain, help us to be a blessing to others. For we know that there are many others who also feel brokenness and pain. Help us to bring the blessing of your love, your presence, in the midst of our earthly sorrows. We pray in the name of the one who himself on earth suffered so much, whose body was broken, broken for us. We pray in Jesus' name.